Intervju Radija Študent. Drage poslušalke in poslušalci, nahajamo se v intervjuju Radija Študent. Z vami sem Katarina in ravno kar sedim tukaj med tem, ko ste vi tole poslušali čez kakšno uro, v Kino Šiška, kjer se bo z mano pogovarjal lider dvojca Junior Boys, kanadskega dvojca Junior Boys, Jeremy Greenspan. Is that right? Okay. Hello, Jeremy.
Hi, how you doing?
So welcome here in Ljubljana. It's nice to have you here.
Very nice to be here.
Can we go back to the beginnings of this whole project, or maybe even back further? Well, what I know is that maybe your influences are not so easily read in your music. So, like, I mean, I can hear some Marvin Gaye sometimes. I don't know if you ever thought about that.
Well, I mean, anybody would try and want to sound like Marvin Gaye. I don't know. I don't know that I do, but we listen to a lot of R&B, a lot of R&B from all time, you know, 60s R&B, 70s R&B, 80s R&B, 90s R&B, contemporary R&B. That's probably my main influence, actually, in a lot of ways.
Okay. I read somewhere like there was Miles Davis mentioned, and then you covered Frank Sinatra song. So how does that fit into the whole concept?
Well, the Frank Sinatra cover was from our second record, and we had this kind of idea of doing a kind of like a sort of a crooner record, you know, like a record with a sort of that kind of old style approach to songwriting, but using electronic instruments. And so there's a couple songs on the record where we try to take that approach and sort of fuse electronic dance music with kind of that really traditional songwriting, using a lot of jazz chords and all that kind of stuff. So that's been pretty constant in our whole career. I like a lot of sort of jazz influence kind of R&B bands, you know, or even rock bands like Steely Dan or 10cc, or and then just a lot of contemporary R&B that and hip hop that goes back to jazz records and using those kinds of phrasing and chords and stuff.
Okay, thanks. So let's go back to your first project. So that's album Last Exit. To me, it sounds very, very European. Would you agree? And if yes, where does that come from?
I lived in the UK when I was a teenager, about 17. And when I was in the UK, I was interested in dance music from before, you know, the sort of industrial and techno scene in Canada was quite big. You know, I lived pretty close to Detroit, where there was a lot of that kind of music, and people from my city would bring people from Detroit and from around Detroit, people like Richie Houghton and all that kind of stuff, to Canada. So that's how I became originally interested in dance music. And then when I went to the UK, there was a whole different kind of tradition of dance music and disco and stuff like that that had these sort of European roots. And then there's, of course, like sort of synth pop bands that I really got interested in for the first time when I was a teenager. When I was about 16 is when I heard bands like Ultravox in Japan and OMD and all of those kinds of groups that became important to me, I listened to sort of after the fact, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I feel a sort of... there's a great nostalgia for someone like me about synth-pop music, you know, because in a lot of ways that era of music is the first music I ever really remember knowing. So it's kind of like, I always feel like kind of like, you know how in the 1970s all these rock bands were all nostalgic about the 50s and,
yes,
and early rock music. So I'm sort of feel nostalgic for the music of my youth, which was, you know, synth-pop music.
Okay, cool. You know, maybe I would like to talk a little bit about your song Bellona. I've read somewhere it's coming from, it talks about a novel or something. But to me, it really sounds like one Slovenian band. You wouldn't imagine. I guess you probably haven't heard of it. They're called Video Sex. Yeah, and this song really, really reminds me, of what I remember from them. And they were also synth pop, like early 80s. So this song has a very interesting story. It's a novel.
I basically wanted to write a song about, you know, I have a predilection towards science fiction.
Okay.
And obviously, I'm not the first person in synth pop to like, to write about sort of abandoned cities and sort of dystopian futures and that kind of thing. But the people I really loved, these people like John Fox from Ultravox in particular, who wrote all of these sort of great sort of cityscapes, lyrics about sort of urban architecture and the emotions that kind of though they elicit, etc. And so for me, I wrote that song Bellona as a kind of in that tradition. The song, the name of it is from a novel by Samuel Delaney, who's a science fiction writer from the 70s, and he wrote a big book called Dahlgren. And there's a kind of dystopian almost like Road Warrior-esque kind of city where there's like a lot of kind of lawlessness and debauchery and sort of you know, a lot of weird sort of strange sexual overtones in the novel and stuff like that. So I wanted to write a song kind of about that.
Okay, why there's no lyrics printed on your records? Because I kind of feel that they are important. There are stories behind it, and for like someone like me, I miss them in a way.
I've often thought about doing it just because sometimes if I look online, for example, and see our lyrics written online, they're always wrong.
They are,
and sometimes they're really wrong. That they're not anything close to what I'm actually saying. But, you know, like there's a famous lyricist, Stephen Sondheim, who's, wrote West Side Story and a lot of other things like that. And he has this kind of sort of belief that lyrics aren't poetry. You know, they service a song. They're not meant to be read. They're meant to be listened to. And sort of, I've always felt uncomfortable about writing lyrics down like as if they were poetry, because they're not, you know? They're there to service music, and they're there to work with music. So I think for that reason, I've kind of hesitated to do it.
Okay, so there will be no lyrics on your next album.
I mean, maybe one day I'll decide that I've had enough of people writing them online wrong, and I want to set the record straight or something like that, but for now, no.
Okay.
But if anybody is interested, they can always write me, I suppose, and I'd be happy to let them know.
You would?
Sure, why not?
I'll be the first one to do that. Okay, let's give a little bit further to the whole design, the whole image and design of your concept of how the concept materializes. You always obviously pay a lot of attention to the visual side. of your albums. So what is the idea behind the picture on your last album or the graphics on your last album?
We pay attention to the the last one was weird because I had always had this idea that I wanted to keep our albums two-dimensional, like the artwork to always be two-dimensional. Mm-hmm. But this, the picture, I did a bunch of recording of the album while I was in China last year. And so while I was in China, what was going on at the time was the World Expo, mm-hmm. which a lot of people didn't know about across the world. But in China, it was a really big deal. Yeah. You know, like I think they spent like double the amount of money on the Expo as they did on the Beijing Olympics. You know, it was a huge thing. And so I went to the Expo a few times and it was a completely weird experience. It was like talking about Bologna. It was like going into some sort of bizarre dystopian future because it was like so huge. Mm-hmm. The space, the grounds were so big that even if there was lots of people, it felt completely empty. Mm-hmm. So it was right up my alley, kind of, you know? The picture on the cover is all of the different countries, I'm sure Slovenia did one as well, had these different pavilions. And different architects would do ones for each pavilion. And there was the pavilion for the United Kingdom was this weird building made out of, I think they called it like the Seed Cathedral. And it was all of these weird spikes coming off of it. So the picture on our album cover, it looks like it's like some sort of Photoshopped something or other, but it's not. It's just a picture of a building.
On that expo.
Yeah, it's just a picture my sister took when we were there that day. That's it.
Okay, sounds simple now. Okay, so you're on a world tour now?
We're finishing up, like basically, we've been touring that album on and off for over a year. And this is basically, we have one sort of bizarre show after this in a week in Russia. But other than that, this is, we sort of think of this as kind of our last show of the whole tour, and probably our last show for a long time.
Oh, really?
Well, just because we don't usually play shows when we're in between recordings and stuff like that, and we're mainly working on 12 inches right now, so it might be our last show for quite some time.
Okay, so you're planning to work on a new album?
No, we're going to just work on, for the meantime, we're just going to work on EPs and 12 inches. I'm more excited about that than albums at the moment.
Okay, how come?
I just think that albums are a sort of big production for, and they just let you down, because ultimately I don't think people are that interested in listening to albums, and I don't think there's any reason why they should be. I think, like, nowadays people listen to music in different ways, and I want to kind of make music to be listened to in those ways, you know? So making a whole album for me isn't a priority. I'd mm-hmm. rather just, especially, and also touring for long periods is not a big priority for me either. I want to spend as much time as I can in the recording studio working on all sorts of different stuff. So if we can release 12 inches and stuff like that, it allows me to stay in the studio more.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what is the relationship between Junior Boys in studio and your live shows? How do you approach and how do you understand the whole thing behind both?
Well, the live shows are, you know, happen after the studio, you know. It's not like we rehearse as a band and then we go into a studio and lay down a track as we've been playing it live. We write the songs all in the studio, and then afterwards we just try and kind of make them happen. But, you know, we have the limited instruments that we have live. We don't have like a studio. We have to put everything onto the instruments that we're capable of playing. Mm-hmm. And we have a guy playing drums. So they take on a, you know, they sound different, you know. Mm-hmm. The live thing for us is a way to go out and promote ourselves and try and make more fans and that kind of stuff. But the recording is the what we do, you know?
Okay, the main thing.
Yeah.
How about, you know, the danceability of your music? I mean, you obviously you do kind of, what you said, this is synth pop, I
said. Yeah.
But it's not so easy to dance to it.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes we, on our third album, we sort of made this conscious choice to try and slow down but not to go too slow as to be ballads and to make mm-hmm. stuff in this really weird sort of disco BPM of around 110 beats per minute that isn't quite danceable and isn't mm-hmm. not danceable. And that was kind of weird, you know, we made this album like that. And, you know, and unsurprisingly, people didn't dance to it, you know. But I think for me, like, danceability isn't exactly the... For me, you have to be able to, like, move to it a bit. I'm just drawn, you know, like, I like music that has some semblance of groove to it, you know. Like, that's just what I like, you know. And... so we kind of have these sort of different things pulling us in different directions. Sometimes we do these real down-tempo ballad songs, and those are fun too. But even those, I like to have a little bit of a swagger to them, you know? Mm-hmm. That's just what I like, you know? I can't really explain it any other way.
Yeah, okay, cool. So can we expect to dance tonight? So what's your experience on the concert?
Yeah, usually, I mean, for this last tour has been a very dance-heavy kind of tour. So usually we can tell how good a crowd is from the very beginning, you know? Once they start going. Okay. If they start going immediately, then we know it's going to be a good show.
Okay, thanks a lot.
No problem. Just know I'll never shake it off so easily. I'll never shake it. Staring at the screen, still deciding how to say what you mean, but you can't. All the things that we mean, yes you can. Well, should I try to put it off? 'Cause when I try to be cool, well I just can't fake it. I'm making things worse when I just can't fake it. Say the things you do.